Denver 24, Seattle 10. That is what I said a year ago, and it didn't work out so well. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Adam?
Okay, so I have a new prediction. Seattle 20, New England 17. How do you feel about that? By the way, of the three of us, Jamie's not here today, but of the three of us last year, you were the only one who picked the Seahawks to win. You picked 27-24 Seattle.
Without hesitation. And I was still a little bummed that it wasn't a close game. It was really one of the most unentertaining.
Yeah, it sucked.
But, yeah, I had a feeling that Seattle's going to win. And I have a feeling Seattle's going to win again this year. And, Adam, if I may say, it's really nice to hear your voice on the podcast again.
And see my face via Skype.
Well, but no one listening can see your face. Only
no, but
I
you can. But isn't
and
it
look
nice
at you.
To
you're
see
all
my...
grown up. You're in New York City. I'll set the scene. You're still wearing a plaid.
Yeah.
And you're in a room with absolutely no decor whatsoever. Just
right.
A white wall behind you.
Dave, there are
it
two
on
colors.
Skype, you know, you could see somebody on Skype. You could see white wall, Adam with a headset, and then plaid. I don't even know if you're wearing pants.
I'm not. I'm the only one in this room, so I took the pants off. And
mine are off, too.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Stand up for us. No, it's okay. Never mind.
Sorry,
so anyway, today, Dave, we're going to break down your quarterback tiers for 2015 and preview the Super Bowl and talk about the playoff challenge. Now, you and I have a lot in common, Dave. We both forgot to set lineups last week in the playoff challenge.
I thought you were going to say we both are wearing pants.
Yeah, we are wearing pants. So we both have full rosters, 8-man rosters for this week for the Super Bowl. But probably aren't going to win because we forgot to set our lineups last week. I was on vacation, so at least I had an excuse.
Well, maybe I was on vacation too.
You weren't. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is our email address. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. Ask us anything you want. Keepers, strategy. Less keepers, the better. We'll talk about Drew Brees, Wilson, Luck, Ryan, everybody for next year. But first, stat of the day, number one. Peyton Manning averaged 30 fantasy points per game in the first 11 weeks of the season. Now, Andrew Luck, who was the number one quarterback, Dave, in fantasy, he averaged 27 fantasy points per game this year. So Manning was better than Luck was for a while, or at least, you know, just as, because Luck kind of finished with a whimper. And yet you don't have him in your elite tier, your second-round tier. You know, you have no quarterbacks in the first round, but you only have two in the elite tier going into 2015, and Peyton Manning's not one of them.
No, a lot of that has to do with the fact about whether or not Peyton is actually coming back. I feel like, do you remember how I felt about Trent Richardson last summer? About how, well, I know we're all excited and we're all hopeful, but I need to see something first. I need to see it, Adam.
Well, okay, but obviously you're not going to put him in any tier if he doesn't come back. But if he does come back, right now you have him
in the second tier.
Yeah,
I think
four
people
overall.
Are going to be sour on him because, let's face it, he's a few months older than me, so he's going to be 39 when next season starts. He's obviously starting to break down now. You saw it with the quad injury. I think there might have been more going on besides the quad injury there, so... Look, I think that there could be some things going on with what are you doing here?
Who's in there?
Okay. Jeff Tobin just walked in. He just walked in and just is sitting down.
Oh, he's watching the podcast.
He's watching our podcast. Do you want a mic?
No.
Why not?
We can hear him, so. This is awkward.
He wants to hear how it goes, Adam. Do you want to see Adam?
Yeah.
He's right here.
Dave, stop talking to him because people can hear him. Hi, Jeff. Now, all right.
Hello, Adam.
There we go. Hello, Jeff Tobin in the house. You know what, Dave? That was awkward. So let's move on to stat of the day number two, and it's Tony Romo.
Uh-huh.
Averaged 23.5 fantasy points per game over his last 12 games. That included that horrible three-point game against the Eagles on a short week. So 23.5, Dave, if he had averaged that for 16 games, he would have been the number four quarterback in fantasy. How about that?
You really believe that he will do all of this again?
I'll tell you why I think it's realistic. If they obviously bring back Dez Bryant, keep the offensive line intact. He was the number nine quarterback in fantasy, but remember, he started slow, and he threw the 23rd most pass attempts in the NFL. He basically had the best season. You could argue Aaron Rodgers and Tony Romo, two best seasons of any quarterback. So I don't see why he can't do that again. Especially, I imagine he'll throw a little bit more.
I'll tell you why he can't do it again. We don't know. First of all, Dez is scheduled to be a free agent. I'm going to assume that he either gets the franchise tag or signs a ridiculous long-term deal. I am a little nervous about Dez Bryant. I do have him ranked in my elite tier, but I'm a little nervous about how he'll react to having the big money. I also know that Tony Romo's back issues aren't going to go away. We had a scare this year with it. The numbers were bad immediately after. There was the short week game. I don't want to deal with that if I don't have to. So there are a lot of other quarterbacks that I just think are safer than Tony Romo.
Okay, but he did have his best season behind that offensive line with that running game.
It is a juicy offensive line, and that running game might be very different next year.
Which I don't know that would hurt because I think he'll throw more.
Maybe.
All right, more on that a little bit later. And stat of the day number three. How many interceptions did Russell Wilson throw last week?
I think that number is four.
Correct. And here's your stat of the day. He has not thrown an interception in back-to-back games once this season.
Right.
So that brings us to...
He's done it over the course of his career.
Well, he did it a lot last year. But this year, it hasn't happened. So that brings us to our Super Bowl 49 preview, the Patriots and the Seahawks. And from a fantasy perspective, for guys who are still alive in the playoff challenge, setting their lineups, who do you like this week?
Well, first of all, he hasn't thrown multiple interceptions in back-to-back games since his rookie year. I'm going back to Russell Wilson on you now. But I like him in the challenge. So
I like him better than Brady, do you?
Segue, Adam.
Dave, do you like him better than Brady?
Yeah. I think he's going to put up good numbers in the game. I think that he's going to be a huge key to Seattle winning this game, possibly building a big lead in this game, which I honestly believe can happen. I think New England's defense is good. I think Seattle's defense is better. And I think there could be a lot of bootleg off of play action. I think he can make moves with his feet just as much with his arm. And I don't – here's the biggest reason why I think Seattle wins this game. Gifted the NFC Championship game. There's no doubt about it. They were awful in that NFC title game. They're going to step up. They realize that they got away with one, and Russell Wilson realizes it too. And just as you said, he hasn't had back-to-back games with an interception this year. I just told you he hasn't had back-to-back games with multiple interceptions since weeks 4 and 5 of his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to take advantage of this gift win that he got over Green Bay. And I think Seattle's going to run on all cylinders, and I think Russell Wilson puts up good numbers in the game.
Okay, but here's my concern with Russell Wilson. If you think Revis is going to cover Doug Baldwin, who on earth is he going to throw to? And I just have, like, I think Seattle's going to win the game, but my fear is they have no passing game if you take away Doug Baldwin, who's not a great player. They do?
They've got a passing game. It's just one that you don't see very often.
What's he going to throw for 150 yards?
What's that?
What's he going to do? Throw for 150 yards?
He might throw for 215, maybe 2 1/4.
Well,
listen, I also think he's going to – I originally said this week that it was going to be a blowout. I think it might end up being a blowout, but it could be a competitive game for 3 quarters.
Who blows out the Patriots?
No one does. But
yeah, it's not going to be a blowout.
Seattle, to me, is just – I think that they're just a different breed right now.
They should have lost last week or 2 weeks ago.
I know they should have lost, but they didn't. And I think they're going to – I think they're wise to how fortunate they are, and I think that that kind of put their focus back on the – on what's at stake here, and I think it's made them loose, and I think they're loose to begin with, and now I just think that they're going to go out there and ball.
I
don't know if I can really quantify it into statistics per se.
Okay,
I don't know if I can really, you know, saying Russell Wilson's going to throw for 225 yards, I don't think that that's a big deal. Putting him in my playoff challenge, the reason why he's there at 67 points instead of Tom Brady at Brady is so I can save the 3 extra points, which I ended up needing when I reset my lineup for this week.
And I didn't make this joke yet, Dave, so let's just pretend I said it at the top of the show. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
What?
And speaking of which, if there's one guy I'd be most excited about, it's Marshawn Lynch.
Of course.
Right? I mean, he's a must. If you can afford it in playoff challenge, he's a must.
Wait, now say your line again? Or do I have to ask a question for you to say your line again?
Yeah. You have a question, Dave?
I do. I want to know what you think of New York City.
Oh, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Now you ask me.
Dave, how's the weather down there?
You know why I'm here.
That was something. That was quite an interview session. Anybody else you think could have a big game?
I absolutely love it.
You do?
I love it. I love how there's like this. it seems like it's a majority in the media that just like despises that Marshawn Lynch doesn't talk to the media. Part of me, I love it, and I would watch it. I hope he has media. I hope he spends every day of his offseason walking out of his house. There's a horde of media there, and they ask him questions, and he comes up with a dumb phrase every day.
I think they should just leave him alone already. Like, he doesn't want to talk. Don't make him talk. What is
See,
the point?
I think he loves this, though.
Oh, I
and
don't.
And this might be how you actually start to get him to open up a little bit.
I don't know. He's coming off as a jerk, but I get it. He doesn't want to talk, so don't make him talk. It's not like everyone's doing this.
I think he's in on the joke.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. I hope you're right.
Because he's laughing as he says it.
I think he's taking it a little bit too far. All right, anybody else you think could have a big game?
He hasn't taken it far enough.
Who could have a big game other than Lynch?
I think he's also a huge key to the Seahawks. I was asked, who's going to be the MVP of the game? Is it going to be Russell Wilson or Marshawn Lynch? And usually you lean toward quarterbacks as MVPs in the Super Bowl. But I think Lynch is going to be the reason why Seattle, if they do blow out New England, like I'm thinking, and when I say blow out, I'm talking about like win by 10. I'm not saying 36-8 or whatever the game was last year with Denver. I think Marshawn Lynch just grinds New England down.
How about Edelman and Gronkowski? They've been pretty good.
They've been great. And I think the numbers that Edelman has, that you've been used to seeing from Edelman, I think you're going to continue to see them. I think he's going to continue to get a lot of catches. And I think that that's going to be a byproduct of what Seattle's defense is. They play mostly zone. They're going to have Julian Edelman available. And they're going to want Tom Brady to throw underneath to Julian Edelman because they're going to do everything they can to try and contain Gronk.
You think Sherman takes Gronk at all?
No. Sherman's going to stay on his side of the field like he always does. He doesn't follow anybody around. Ike Taylor did an interview on Radio Row with Will Brinson and Ryan Wilson for CBSSports.com, and they asked him who's the better cornerback between Revis and Sherman. And he ultimately, and this was a smart call by Ike Taylor of the Steelers, by the way, Revis will take on one guy and follow him in everywhere, and Richard Sherman won't do that very often, if at all. And that's the difference, and that's why Darrell Revis should be considered a better cornerback.
Yeah, you know what? I don't buy it. I'll tell you why I put Sherman ahead, and I feel like whenever this argument is brought up, this point is never made. It's his ball skills and his interceptions, and if you throw at him, you're going to get turnovers. That's what Sherman does that Revis really doesn't. You know, people always want to talk about who the better cover corner is, but they forget about the turnovers, and Sherman's better than any cornerback in the NFL at that.
I would rather have the cornerback that shuts down.
But he does shut down people. If he wanted to follow them, he could. They don't need him to follow them. They're good on both sides of the field, and they have great safeties.
I think that they could get by with Richard Sherman following a guy. They just choose not to.
Right. They could. They just don't need him to do it. The rest of their secondary is so good, they don't need him to do that.
I'm getting flashbacks to the week where Anquan Boldin was assigned Richard Sherman, and I turned to Jamie on the set, and I go, but Richard Sherman doesn't follow anybody. And that was the one week that he actually did. And I think Anquan was coming off of like 200 yards. It was a week 2 game last year. And I think he had one catch for 2 yards against Richard Sherman.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to follow people, he'd shut
them down. It's an interesting question why they don't have Sherman follow them around. And if I may, just one more thing. A long time ago, I actually got the chance to interview Revis. And I asked him about following a player around versus staying to a side. And he says that it's far more complicated when you're following a player around. You have to study the player more. Whereas when you play to a side, it's almost like it almost doesn't matter who you play against because you see the same sort of things every time from the same side.
Do you think Revis is going to follow Doug Baldwin around?
They might start the game that way. They might start the game that way and then make a change midway through.
All right, and the last thing I want to talk about here, just for Gronkowski, just, you know, as an interesting
Who's
stat.
Who's also in my playoff challenge lineup.
Yeah, me too.
You want to hear my lineup?
Hold on 1 second. Seattle gave up 10 touchdowns to tight ends in their first 8 games. Since then, they've given up 1, and that was Zach Ertz, and he's the only tight end, including the playoffs, to score more than 5 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues against the Seahawks since their 8th game of the season.
I am so glad that you brought that up because a lot of the media and a lot of the people who are breaking down this game immediately point to, well, Seattle's allowed, what'd you say, 11 touchdowns?
Yeah.
11 touchdowns on the season at tight end. So clearly Rob Gronkowski's got an advantage. Ha ha ha. But you breaking it down, you did the homework for me. And the fact that we now know that it's been eight straight games or one touchdown to a tight end in eight games?
No, it's 10 games because it's the playoffs too.
Ah, that's even better. A touchdown to a tight end over 10 games. That tells me that having Cam Chancellor and having Bobby Wagner healthy and available makes a humongous difference for the Seattle defense and how they go about scheming against teams with that.
Yeah,
they have taken on their fair share of teams with stinkers at times.
Yes, it's true, but they also took on Greg Olsen. They did a pretty good job against him. So I like the Seahawks 20-17. Did you give a score?
I'm going to do something like 27-19. Okay. Maybe 27-21 Seattle. Something like that. I would, if I had the chance to take a trip to Las Vegas and there was a special line of taking Seattle, giving 3 points, giving 4 points, I would bet that. I know the line's like New England minus one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Seattle wins by somewhere between 5 and 7 points.
Well, let's hear your playoff challenge.
27-21 Seattle.
Let's hear your playoff challenge lineup, Dave.
I've got Russell Wilson for 67 points. My running backs are Marshawn Lynch and LeGarrette Blount. They've combined for 102 points, 62 for Lynch, 40 for LeGarrette. Jermaine Kearse for 11 points, total boomer bust play. Brandon LaFell has been in my lineup the whole way in the playoff challenge, so I'm not going to take him out now at 27. Gronk, tight end, 38. Steven Gostkowski, a kicker, 27. By the way, he's a pending free agent. And then Seattle is my defense. They've been my defense all the way at 27. I've spent 299 of my 300 points. I like my chances of putting up some good numbers in the final week of the playoff challenge. I wish I had made some moves earlier because now I'm buried in the standings.
You and I have almost the same exact lineup, but you have LaFell and Blount, and I have Edelman and Vereen. So Wilson, Lynch, Vereen, Edelman, Kearse, Gronkowski, Gostkowski, and the Seahawks. There you go.
Awesome.
We have one injury, new and note. See, I didn't put the S on news there.
Mm-hmm.
You get that? You know, because there's only one?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. The Colts signed wide receiver Daron Carter. He played in the CFL for two seasons. He played at Ohio State. He went to Alabama. I don't think he ever saw the field at Alabama. A big-time talent who had some off-field issues, and the Colts have signed him. And what are your thoughts, sir?
I need to watch him. I really don't know that much about Daron Carter.
Well, he's Chris Carter's son.
Well, I know that, genius.
But what else do you need to know? He must be good.
If he must be good, then why has he been in the Canadian Football League?
Look, he went to Ohio State and Alabama. The talent is obvious. He did very well in the CFL. He just had some issues. Looks like he's walking into a good situation, right?
Yeah, we're going to get asked about him a bunch come July and August. And training camp's going to be his opportunity to shine. You know, I know for a fact that the Colts love Dante Moncrief, and T.Y. Hilton's going to stay there. This could end up being the guy that knocks Reggie Wayne into retirement. And Reggie Wayne might knock himself into retirement. It might be he might just choose to do it. But if Carter has a good training camp, he's your third receiver. Hakeem Nicks is probably also going to have to look for a job. But I don't see Daron Carter as a guy, at least not now, as a guy who's going to be worth – he might be worth a late-round flyer just to see what happens. But, a candidate for 800 yards and five touchdowns, I don't know. I'm not feeling it yet. I still think that's Moncrief territory right there.
If they upgraded wide receiver, though, it might make you like Luck more than Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about quarterback tiers for 2015. Right now, Dave's writing tiers for each position at fantasynews.cbsports.com. We're going to start with quarterbacks, and we'll do another one each week. What did you take away from the quarterback position this season, Dave? Yeah, I mean, you know what? I felt the same way. Like, I was a little disappointed, but I went back 4 years. I didn't go any back further than that. And the average fantasy points scored for a top 12 quarterback, like I added up the top 12 points divided by 12. The average in 2014 was higher than 2013, 2012, and 2011. Right. And a lot higher than 2013. It was 21 points better. That's pretty significant.
There wasn't – we didn't have a 2013 Peyton Manning or a 2013 Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And because we didn't have those huge, huge years from a quarterback. We had some very good years. 14 quarterbacks had over 300 fantasy points. That's more than from last year. I think that's what makes the position a little underwhelming.
Well, it was a little more balanced this year, right?
What's that?
It was a little more balanced this year.
A little more balanced and certainly deep. This is a very deep position, and I think anybody who tells you to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback is absolutely nuts, unless it's a two-quarterback league. This is the year to get away from that.
I don't know. Really?
Yeah.
Like late first round?
Because if you're going to take one in the late first round, you can come right back in the second or early second round and get one.
Okay, fine. Then you're kind of splitting hairs there. But I do see the value in taking Luck or Rodgers early because, sure, like, you could look at a lot of the quarterbacks that finished in the top 12. Like, Phillip Rivers was 12. Eli Manning was 11. Matt Ryan was, I think, number 8. And we see them as top 12 guys overall, but we know just from the year they were not reliable. They were not even close to reliable on a week-to-week basis. In fact, they were horrible at times. Yeah. So, it's one thing to finish in the top 12. It's another thing to be a reliable starter pretty much every single week. And there weren't that many quarterbacks who did that. So I could see the merit in taking one in the late first round or early second round.
There were only 10 quarterbacks that had 300 fantasy points and 20-plus fantasy points in at least half their games.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, if that's my goal, if that's what I'm going for a quarterback, is someone who is going to get me 20 or more fantasy points half the time, which should be considered a good thing at this point, then I'm absolutely waiting for a quarterback. There's no chance in the world that I'll take Rodgers or Luck even in the second round. Now, if you really believe that quarterbacks are the way to making the fantasy playoffs and, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't lose Randall Cobb this offseason and Jerron Carter turns out to be better than T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck's got all these weapons around him, then sure, then you've got your case to take them with the top 24 pick, maybe even a top 12 pick. I'm not gonna do that. I look at the weakness at running back and tight end, and that's the biggest reason why I won't take a quarterback early on. Because I wanna get a stud running back, maybe two, with my first two picks. Certainly within my first four picks, I need two running backs. Getting that stud tight end, it's gonna be a priority for me this year because I just think the advantage is so huge over your opponents.
But how many are there?
Those guys on your team. And I think Jimmy Graham is actually a better value than Gronk because I can get Jimmy Graham because he fell. And people are going to remember how Jimmy Graham finished, not how he started. And he's going to be a great second-round pick this year.
So how many elite tight ends do you think there are? Two?
Three. And that's dependent on where Julius Thomas ends up and who his quarterback is.
Right. So
there's rumors that he might end up in Atlanta.
So right now there are two. Right? Am I forgetting anyone? Graham and Gronk?
Graham and Gronk and Julius Thomas.
Oh. Yeah, but he's probably not going to be
an elite
tight end next year.
If he ends up in Tennessee catching passes from Zach Mettenberger or some crap like that, then no, he's not going to be in that top tier. And that just makes Graham all the more valuable. I think people are going to reach like crazy for Gronk.
I don't know if it's a reach. They are going to take him pretty early.
I know, but what has changed between last year at this time and this year at this time?
He played
16-game season and proved that he's dominant.
Yeah.
Which is great. I'm not taking that away from him. But we've got Jimmy Graham in that same boat. He was in the Gronk boat last year. Well, can Jimmy Graham stay healthy for 16 games? And what about his shoulder? And what about his quarterback? Well, if everything checks out and the offensive line is better in New Orleans and Graham's shoulder isn't an issue anymore, then I love that value. I absolutely love it. And I would rather have Jimmy Graham. I'd rather get a stud running back in round one and then get Graham in round two rather than Gronk in round one and then a very good running back in round two.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And we'll talk tight ends probably next week. Now, you've got...
That'll be a short conversation, by the way.
I don't know. We could always make it long, knowing you and Jamie will be back. All right, so you've separated your quarterbacks into the following tiers. Elite, who you take in round two, Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck.
Right.
Luck was two fantasy points better than Rodgers this year. Excellent, rounds 3 through 5. And I do think I disagree with you on Tom Brady, who you have in there, followed by Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, and Drew Brees. I just don't know with Brady. He had a five-game stretch where he averaged 34 fantasy points per game, which is epic, which is like record-setting, better than what Peyton Manning averaged last year.
Right, and it really offset the first four games of his season.
But not just that. You know, he averaged 21 fantasy points per game in his next five, and I kind of feel like that's what he really was, like a top 12 guy, but not an elite guy, not the number three quarterback.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, he just was so good during that stretch, and I'm not sure that happens again.
And that carried him. I mean, you're absolutely, you could break down his season into four parts. Part one was the first four games of the year. Everybody knows what happened.
11 fantasy points per game.
What's that?
So here, I did it actually. So part one.
Oh, please.
Yeah. I did your homework again. First four games, 11 fantasy points per game. Next five games, 34 fantasy points per game. Next five games.
This is after the bye, by the way.
Yeah, 21 fantasy points per game with really the same amount of attempts. And then after that, he scored 12 points in week 16 at the Jets, and then he played a half and scored 3 points against Buffalo in week 17. So I guess to me it was really three parts. 11 fantasy points per game in four games for Brady, then 34 in five, and then 21 per game in his next five.
Yeah. And the ones with the good fantasy point averages, the meat of that, Adam, is what I think you can expect. I don't know if he might have a stretch where he gets 30 fantasy points per game.
He just feels to me more like a sixth-round pick. I don't know.
Okay. I would start to look his way if I really wanted a quarterback in the late third round. But I probably wouldn't take him until late fourth round.
Okay, so Peyton Manning.
Just because I'm that guy waiting on quarterbacks this year.
So in this group, Brady, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, give me the one that you think has the best chance to be elite.
To jump up to the next tier.
Yeah.
Part of me definitely wants to say Peyton Manning.
I'll tell you.
So I will. I will, Adam. I'll say it's Peyton Manning. And, you know, the scenario is simple. Peyton is the offensive coordinator there. So with Adam Gase leaving, that's not bad for Peyton Manning. With Gary Kubiak there, I'm pretty sure Gary Kubiak is not going to force his crummy offense on Peyton Manning. He might ask Peyton to hand off a little bit more rather than throw it, but I also think that they're going to be in a lot of dogfight games, and I think Peyton will have some games where he puts up plenty of points himself. Julius Thomas stays. Demaryius Thomas stays. They find a way to get Wes Welker off the roster, or at least to the bench. They put Emmanuel Sanders in the slot, and they put Cody Latimer on the outside, and that gives Peyton an upgrade as far as receivers go. And with Julius Thomas in there, it's going to make it very, very hard for defenses to slow down that Denver pass game.
Okay, then I will make the case for Drew Brees, who finished as the number five quarterback in fantasy. And he had the most pass attempts in the NFL. He had the most passing yards in the NFL, actually tied with Ben Roethlisberger. And finished with a bit of a whimper, unfortunately. I think they need to get him a wide receiver, but... You know, 2013 was the Peyton Manning year. 2012 was the Drew Brees year. So let's compare 2012 Drew Brees with 2014 Drew Brees. 54 more fantasy points in 2012 when he was the number one quarterback. This year he was number five. The yards were pretty similar, 225 more yards. The completion percentage, though, much better this past year. Fewer interceptions, but here's the big difference, Dave. 10 fewer touchdown passes.
Right.
I don't know if that's fluky or not. New Orleans had 6 more rushing touchdowns this year than they did in 2012. But he basically was Drew Brees. He just had a bunch of games where he had 2 touchdowns instead of 3. If he gets that third touchdown, which he's certainly capable of doing, I don't think we saw anything from Drew Brees that he's a worse quarterback than he was when he was one of the best in the NFL. So I think he could easily get back up there.
You know, one of the problems that I had was how often he was pressured.
Yeah,
he took 29 sacks this year. That's actually low for him. The year 2013, he had 37, but in 2012, he had only 26. I guess it's close to what he had in 2012 when he had his big year. The touchdowns are huge. It feels like he had more turnovers this year than he did in previous years, but that's really not the case either.
Well, he had fumbles. I don't know what the fumbles numbers were, but you're right. He did have fumbles. And the offensive line, the sacks are deceiving because we both know their offensive line was garbage this year.
Yeah, he had only one fumble lost in 2012, only three in 2014. So you really can't put your finger on it there.
So touchdowns.
I think the first thing you said is really what stands out. He needs receivers. Colston is pedestrian at this point. He will make some plays. Jimmy Graham, again, going back to how Jimmy Graham finished the season and how everybody's going to remember that about Jimmy Graham, the fact that he wasn't dominant more frequently for the New Orleans offense, that took away. That might have cost Drew Brees three of those 10 touchdowns. Brandon Cooks started the season hot, played very well indoors. He went on injured reserve late in the year, and I think that played a role too. They were also very effective with the run, and they were willing to run the ball when they went away from the Superdome. I think the offensive line is going to be the first fix. We'll see how their run game shapes up. If Mark Ingram leaves, I'm not totally convinced that Kyrie Robinson will do as well. They might go out and add another running back. Who knows what they'll do? But I don't. By ranking him where I ranked him, that's not to say that Drew Brees is washed up. In fact, I can't say that if I'm putting him in my second tier among quarterbacks. I think he'll end up being a very good value pick on draft day as well. A guy who I would be – now, that's a guy I don't mind taking in round four. With Brady, I was a little wishy-washy. Brees, the alarm is up on him round four, round five for sure.
Okay, then we go to the very good group, round six through seven, and we have Russell Wilson, who is the number six overall quarterback this year. He led all quarterbacks with 849 rushing yards and six rushing touchdowns. Then we have Tony Romo. I think he should be in a different tier, Dave. We talked about that earlier, though.
He should be down a tier? No. You think he should be up a tier?
Yes. I think he should be up. And then Cam Newton and Eli Manning, who just both seem like maybe, like, to me, I would split this tier in two and have and add another one, because I feel like Cam and Eli are much riskier than Russell Wilson and Tony Romo. But you can go ahead. This tier, like, you're cool with these guys as your number one?
Yeah, you know, if I can't go and land, you know, Brady, Manning, Ryan Brees by round five, these are the backups, but I'm going to wait another round or two to go and get them. I'm optimistic on Cam Newton. I think that as long as he doesn't have major surgery on his ankle this year, he's going to have a wide receiver in Kelvin Benjamin, 1,000 yards this year. He made it over 1,000 yards as a rookie. I think he's going to continue to be a big factor. They're going to add somebody else in that passing game. I can't tell you who, but they are going to add somebody else. Greg Olson's still there. The offensive line's going to be better. And doggone it, they let Cam Newton run toward the end of the season, Adam, and that tells me that they're fine with him in that type of role. So I am A-okay with Cam Newton as the number one fantasy quarterback in 2015. And I love Eli Manning based on what we might see from that passing game. Run game there I still think is a question mark, and I still think they'll use running backs out of the backfield catching passes from Eli. But he's got Odell Beckham, and he's in love with Odell Beckham. Victor Cruz is going to be back. Whatever Reuben Randall, whatever they get out of the tight end, that's going to help them along the way as well. Adam Azer, I think Eli Manning is in for a huge year, especially since the defense might not be as good as you might want it to be as a Giants fan.
So it'll be better, though. It'll be better. They have
the defense will be better?
Yeah, they're going to have
the pass rush coming from.
Well, they'll bring back Jason Pierre-Paul, and hopefully DeMontre Moore continues to develop. And
maybe.
I'm blanking on the undrafted guy that was really good for them. Totally blanking on that. But they have Spagnuolo now. I think he's going to be a lot better than Perry Fuel. But here's what concerns me with Eli Manning. He was the 11th best quarterback in fantasy with the 6th most pass attempts. I have a feeling they'll scale that back. And last 10 games for Eli Manning is starting with Beckham's 2-touchdown game against the Cowboys. And then after that, he really broke out. He averaged 21 fantasy points per game, which is good. It's top 12, but it's nothing special. And I just feel like Eli turns the ball over too much to ever have a really huge year.
First of all, he did it once. 21 fantasy points per game isn't special.
It's not.
I mean, it's all right. I wouldn't be upset getting 21 points per game from my fantasy quarterback over 16 games, well over 300 points, over 325 points.
Yeah, it's good.
That's very good.
But where's the upside?
That's a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but.
And Eli Manning is in my top 12. He's toward the bottom.
They talk about it, they better fix their offensive line. It's awful.
We're counting on that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and then you have some risk reward guys. Matthew Stafford, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Tannehill. And I think at that point we're like 14 guys deep for you. So
we are.
How many? So of those 14, do you feel like how many do you feel comfortable with as your number one quarterback?
Pretty much all of them. But the catch with the risk reward, and this is a recommendation I'll make, if you're really going to go into your draft saying I'm going to wait on quarterbacks, and you're going to let all the guys from the first three tiers go, get two quarterbacks from the risk reward, because we're talking about guys with serious upside. There's downside with them too, but Stafford had a down year, and you know, if Jamie were sitting here, he would say every time we think Stafford's going to be up, he's down, and every time he's down, he's up. So that's a guy with Calvin Johnson healthy, Golden Tate a year into the scheme. They're not changing the scheme. Their defense isn't going to be as good if they don't keep Ndamukong Suh. They will chase points. They play a bunch of games indoors. I'm very happy with Matthew Stafford to be one of my quarterbacks. But I would also go back-to-back. We're talking about the middle of a fantasy draft. You're loaded up at running backs and wide receivers, hopefully you have a tight end by now. You can go and get two quarterbacks and carry both and just play the matchups. Have Stafford with Philip Rivers in San Diego, and I think Rivers is probably going to end up being what he has been the past couple of years. He'll start off hot, and then he'll fade. Roethlisberger, I think he might have a chance. I get the most questions about Roethlisberger in the tiers, Adam.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think that I've got him ranked too low because he finished as a top five quarterback. But everybody knows that so many of his stats came in those two matchups where he threw for six touchdowns in each. And he was very hit or miss, very inconsistent. But I think you can pair him with Stafford or Rivers and you'll be okay. And I think Ryan Tannehill actually steps up as long as Miami doesn't make major wholesale changes to the offense. I think Tannehill can have another good year in 2015. So the game plan would be to take two of those four, probably with Stafford one of those four, or one of your two, rather. So Stafford and Rivers.
Yeah.
Stafford and Roethlisberger. Stafford and Tannehill. And then I would even go as far to say Stafford and maybe one of the quarterbacks from the next tier after this, Adam, and you'll be okay in your draft.
Yeah, we'll just lump in a whole bunch of guys here. Right? You know, Palmer, Cutler, Foles, Bortles and Bridgewater, Flacco, Kaepernick, RG3, Dalton, Carr, Sam Bradford, some bounce-back candidates here, some young guys who are really developing. I like Sam Bradford maybe in 14-team leagues because 2 years ago for eight games he was on pace to be a top-10 quarterback. I think he played eight games. So, you know, I think there's something there.
He played like 6 3/4.
Okay. Whatever it was, he was on pace to be a top-10 quarterback. I think he might have been on pace to be the number eight quarterback, which is why I got the number eight. But who do you like from that group? Like, who would you want to gamble on?
Palmer would be the first name. Assuming ACL recovery is fine because of what he did this year. Every single game he finished, 20 or more fantasy points, which to you is just pedestrian, Adam. But to me, I'll take that on my fantasy team.
Well, the thing with him is it wasn't that he averaged it, is that he did it every time. He was very consistent, which was excellent from Carson Palmer. I mean, you had to be very happy with Carson Palmer if you were starting him when he was healthy.
And I'm a big fan. I think Michael Floyd isn't somebody who should be ignored this year, and I think John Brown could have a very good opportunity. And they might add another guy, or they might just say, you know what, Larry Fitzgerald, will redefine your role after you redefine your contract. And there will be weapons there for Carson Palmer, and hopefully he'll be okay. Jay Cutler in Chicago, I don't know if I want to trust a John Fox quarterback who's not named Peyton Manning, because we know how Fox tends to, you know, lean when it comes to offense. He's very conservative. I know Adam Gase is the offensive coordinator there. And Jay Cutler got Loggins as his quarterback's coach, and that's a guy that he likes. So I think they threw Cutler a bone. Chicago's expecting him back. I don't want him to be my number one guy unless I've got somebody from the previous tier or Carson Palmer with him.
Teddy Bridgewater looked really good at the end of the season. Yeah, so the rookie quarterbacks would be good. It looks like a strong crop. And there should be some good late-round value there.
Yeah, and I think Foles, there's already talk about him moving on from Philadelphia. So chances are he won't be an Eagle next year. I don't know if I'm going to like him in another team's uniform.
No, absolutely not. All right, emails here, Dave. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. This is from Aaron in a snowy town in Maine.
Augusta?
Well, they're all pretty snowy right now, I believe. He says, I'm currently sitting in first place by the skin of my teeth in the playoff challenge heading into the Super Bowl, and nice. I have two waiver moves left. And the team in second place is only one waiver move remaining, and both of us have Randall Cobb as our highest player to replace. My question is, should I draft Edelman with the assumption that my competition will also have Edelman in place of Cobb, and thus our Edelman points cancel each other out? Using this strategy, I would not have enough points remaining to make another waiver move. Or should I use both of my waivers and pick up a wide receiver 2 and a DST and hope they score more points combined than Edelman?
That's an interesting question. So basically, he's going to have to take a 0 in his lineup in order to start Edelman.
Yeah.
Well, how many zeros will be in his opponent's lineup?
Well, they pretty much have the same. They have the same teams, pretty much, except he has Wilson, his opponent has Brady, and he has Blunt, and his opponent has Vereen. So he's probably a little bit ahead in that regard.
Sure.
I think I'd probably take Edelman, because I feel like, unless you can get the Seattle defense, but if you do that, then you're going to get a really lousy wide receiver. You know, the points
that
it's going to...
You can get Jermaine Kearse, who's available for 11 points.
I'd rather have Edelman than Kearse and the Seahawks. How about you?
I don't like taking the 0 if I don't have to.
Yeah, I just don't
know.
Now, if
my opponent's got a couple of empty spots in his lineup, then sure. Taking the 0 on defense in this game probably wouldn't be such a bad idea.
So what are you going to do?
That's it. I was originally going to say, you know what, I wouldn't want the Patriots defense, but I think the Patriots defense will come up with some points. I think Seattle's defense will come up with a few more.
Email from Jordan Rowe from Winnipeg, Manitoba. 12-team
Canada.
Oh, I was looking it up on the United States map, and I was so confused.
Yeah. Manitoba.
Thank you.
State, Adam.
12-team PPR keeper league. I can keep 3. Cooks in the 8th round, Hyde in the 7th, Breeze in the 3rd, or Joik Bell in the 5th. Cooks in the 8th, Hyde in the 7th, Breeze in the 3rd, Joik Bell in the 5th.
The two rookies for sure. Cooks and Hyde. Got to be on your keepers. If you had to keep one of the other two, as of now, it would be Joik, with the idea being that you can redraft Breeze by round 3. So you wouldn't even need to use your keeper. Just take him in the 3rd round.
Brandon in Atlanta. He says, "Dear Captain Pierce, Major Houlihan, and Colonel Potter."
You tell me. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Come on, DJ Milk.
I can't look it up anymore because you'll hear the typing in the recording. So you can look it up.
I'm good.
12-team league keeper as the first 3 rounds of the draft. So it's non-PPR. I need 3 of these: Breeze, Charles, Julio, Demarius, and Alshon. Breeze, Charles, Julio, Demarius, Alshon.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Charles, Demarius, and Alshon.
Over Julio?
Oh, no. Get Alshon out of there. Put Julio in. My bad.
Obviously, if Peyton Manning doesn't come back, would you then go Alshon over Demarius?
Yeah, I might. I mean, it depends on who that quarterback ends up being.
All right. Next up, we got Drew. Where's he from?
Drew is from South Beach. Don't you miss South Beach, Adam?
I don't miss South Beach. I hate South Beach, but I do miss South
Florida. You didn't like the scenery. You didn't like the sun.
Well, there's scenery and
the
sun all over.
Cafes.
You don't have to go to South Beach for that. South Beach is like kind of dumpy. You don't think so?
Oh, I didn't say that. Just don't offend Drew's hometown.
I'm sorry, Drew. 12-team PPR, 2 flex, and you keep 2. You lose the round they were drafted in. So give them 2.
Yeah.
Julio Jones in the 1st, Alshon in the 10th, Demarius
one.
In the 5th. Nah, don't be so sure. Kelsey in the 14th, Jeremy Hill in the 9th, C.J. Anderson in the 15th, and Odell Beckham in the 16th.
Ooh.
So I think, let me just say, it's PPR.
You know how long he could keep them at these prices?
I don't know that, but PPR.
I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think the answer is going to change.
I think it's down to these 4. Alshon in the 10th, Hill in the 9th, Anderson in the 15th, and Beckham in the 16th.
I'm very inclined to say Anderson and Beckham. Beckham for sure has to be in there.
I was thinking maybe Jeremy Hill over Anderson, even though 6 rounds difference.
Yeah, I'll take the 6-round difference, and I'll take the running back in a better scheme and situation.
Yeah, are they just done with Ronnie Hillman?
You know, he'll pitch in, but all those running backs are going to start. Here's the problem: Gary Kubiak will tell you anything you want about the running backs all get a fair shake, and you know they're all going to get a chance. Whatever, it's not going to be Kubiak's decision as much as Peyton's decision, and Peyton made the playoffs with C.J. Anderson. And I think as long as C.J. Anderson shows up to training camp and doesn't pull a Trent Richardson, he's going to be just fine.
So there are issues.
I'm meaning Beckham and Anderson.
There are issues there for me. One is Monte Ball and Ronnie Hillman are still there. And two, I feel like they were riding him into the ground. You know, if they do that again, he's going to get hurt. And Jeremy Hill's, you know, he's going to be a stud, I think.
I agree.
And
I'm
in the ninth round,
bad.
I have no issue with that.
I think C.J. Anderson, given the value in this situation. Yeah, imagine if you can keep C.J. Anderson for a 15th round pick for, you know, 3 more years.
Yeah, but if you same argument with Jeremy Hill in the ninth. Like, at that point, you're so deep into the draft, the ninth round, that it doesn't really matter, ninth to 15th, in my opinion.
Technically, you're right. I could see that being the case.
Because you're not talking about great players going in between.
Who are you taking first in the fantasy draft anyway?
Jeremy Hill.
A standard league redraft.
I'll take Hill.
Okay. I'll take Anderson.
You'll take Anderson? All right. I just need a little bit more clarification on Anderson's role. But
here's his role. Starting running back. He does not have Giovanni Bernard sniping carries and catches away from him.
Paul from Cary, Illinois. Keep 2 for 5th and 6th rounds. Half point PPR. Pick 2. Gronkowski, he's obviously going to be 1. So pick 1. Gio Bernard, Roddy White, Dan Heron, Trey Mason. Gio Bernard, Roddy White, Dan Heron, Trey Mason, and
it's half. You're asking me right now, it's going to be Roddy White. But maybe we see Trey Mason step up and do something. As of now, I would go with Roddy White.
Dave and I picked the Seahawks. Everybody enjoy the Super Bowl. Dave, I think it'll be a good game.
I think it'll be a good game, too. Hopefully it's better than last year's, but still a Seattle win.
And thank goodness the NFL didn't choose New York this year, because it'd be a real snowstorm, Dave.
It would be a real snowstorm.
You know.
I suppose you're cooking.
Okay, thank you. Dave, thanks a lot.
You got it, Adam.
That's Dave Richard. I'm Adam Azer. Jamie will join us next week. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the Super Bowl.